Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And we are highly excited because not only are we getting ever closer to Christmas, but we're getting ever closer to our Defy Gravity event.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I know House Mouse Scott said he was talking to Buddy Bangle, who kind of overlooks those hall operations, all three restaurants, and pairing up the foods. And he hasn't told me what they're going to be debuting, but I'm very excited. And we did some last-minute tweaks to the beer list that we got to get published on the website. But still, the ones that are getting swapped out, still great beers. We got a couple in there that are extremely rare that you are not going to get your hands on. So, you
know, really?
Yeah. So chances are, if you don't come to this event, you probably won't ever get your hands on some of these beers. So we're just really, really excited. And I don't even want to say who and from what. Well, if you go online on the website, you'll be able to figure out which is which, I guess. But yeah, just, you know, this is our first time your event. You know, we're only looking to do a couple hundred people. We're not looking to make this like a major event like our regular events where there are thousands and thousands of people, and more intimate. And, you know, I'm looking forward to wearing my ugly sweater.
Well, what, you bring a mistletoe or something? What's going
Christmas
on?
Sweater. Yeah.
Well, you're going to need mistletoe with that ugly sweater.
Exactly. No, it's kind of our quasi unofficial Beer Army Christmas party, I guess. And really excited to hear the guys from Closing Time coming up and playing, because they never played up in this area. And, you know, they play really well. And I know they rehearse anyways, obviously. They're like a not some bullshit, you know, fly by night type music act. I mean, these guys put in some serious time so that when they get up there and perform, they're sounding good, you know.
They're not hacks.
Right. And they said they've been really putting in extra time because they really, you know, want to blow everybody away. So just really looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have a nice little turnout. I say that tongue in cheek because I want to see a decent turnout, but at the same time, I kind of don't want to see a huge turnout either because I kind of want it to be like this party feeling,
yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
If that makes sense, as retarded as that sounds.
You want it really intimate.
Yeah, yeah.
Except I guess the ugly Christmas sweater brings out the softer side of the General, huh?
I guess. Well, we're going to be like really intermingling, and so there's not going to be like a lot of people working the event per se. I mean, there's going to be some people working the event, obviously, but mostly the convention center staff is going to be working it. So we get a chance to kind of just mingle around and be part of the event.
It's going
to
be awesome. Yeah. It's just going to be awesome.
Yeah. So we're really,
I can't wait for these high gravity beers and then the pairings with some good food. It's just going to be awesome.
Yeah. Just really, really looking forward to it. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, definitely roll over to beerarmy.org, go to events, click on it and buy your ticket. Cause I really think it's always amazing when we do a first year event and then afterwards people are like, oh my God, that was great. And then people are like, well, damn, I wish I would have went or whatever. I got to wait a whole nother year. And it's like, well, dude, you know, you had the opportunity, you know.
Shoulda, so. Coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
I got an interesting follow-up. Speaking of interesting beers, because these high gravity, especially with the limited ones, you're only going to be able to get at Defy Gravity. Mm-hmm. Do you remember in a previous podcast talking about Scrapple beer?
Yeah.
From Dogfish Head?
We talked about a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what episode off the top of my head, but.
Well, we talked that it would be released in early December. Mm-hmm. And well, here we are, mid-December, and this stuff has just taken off. It's crazy. They only made a limited batch. It was only available at the brew pub,
right?
Exclusive there for Dogfish Head, and it's gone fast.
Really?
And it blows my mind. Scrapple beer.
Tell me it's not like on eBay selling for like $20 a bottle or something.
Well, I think it was only available at the brew pub, so it had to have been only on draft.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But apparently, people are loving this dark beer with a smoky meatiness. Scrapple. Ugh.
Wow.
Hog organs and other stuff.
Yeah, and for all those hardcore listeners out there, you know, you really want to support the show, definitely go to patreon.com/beerarmy. Check it out. Become a super soldier. We're going to be debuting some stuff, I guess, swag or merch that with each level. We're going to be adding some levels and adding some swag to our existing levels. And, you know, just get behind it, and that helps you, you know, support us, and then it helps us offset the cost, the production cost of the show, which allows us to focus more of the revenue that we raise to focus into the scholarships we want to do, and We're getting ready to meet up with some guys from NC State about some of the research that they're doing
as far as
yeast and then like barley and malting and the agricultural side. And so we're really, really excited. We're expecting 2015 to be able to offer at least 10 to 15 scholarships ranging in anywhere from $500 to $2,500 and then put some serious money behind doing some research at that level that helps out breweries as a whole the brewing industry, which, you know, obviously produces a lot of jobs and economic impact. And
oh yeah.
It goes right back into our mission statement. So also you'll get access to our activity feed, and you know, and if you think we make you laugh or we're out of our minds, you get a chance to see what makes us laugh. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this girl named Sarah X, you know, but she does magical delight with her assets, where I know you've probably seen like The Rock, right? I'm trying to think of some of the other like Rocky Balboa types where they can flex their pecs, you know, make a move or whatever. Well, she does the same thing, but she does it to choreograph to music or whatever. In this case, it was Christmas music.
She choreographs her boobs.
That's right.
So,
you know, like there's even little bells or whatever. So, you know, I couldn't help it. I usually try to stay away from some of that sexist type stuff, you know, because I know we have some women listeners out there. I'm not trying to offend, but
well, right now they're trying to flex their boobs. They really are. But hey, watch the bouncing boobs.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a children's karaoke.
But to go back to that Scrapple thing, and since we were talking about beer, I do want to talk about the beer we're drinking here.
Mm-hmm.
And hails from Raleigh, North Carolina. I know we sometimes get a ration of shit from people saying, "Ah, you guys, you know, you're always bouncing around. You should focus more on North Carolina beers or whatever." Well, from Raleigh, North Carolina, we got Lone Rider Brewing Company,
and we are
drinking Sweet Josie, which is an American brown ale, clocking in at 6.1%.
It's an ale for outlaws.
Yeah,
their branding is amazing. I love it.
A couple of years ago, they like did a total facelift and rebranded everything.
Oh, yeah,
and their story and everything, and their website and their packaging, and just everything is just awesome. And you know, this beer right here has won gold medals at the Great American Beer Festival, the Carolina Championships. It's taken a bronze at the U.S. Open Beer Championship. So these are no slouches. You know, the guys at Lone Rider definitely know how to make good beer, because anytime you can win a medal, let alone a gold medal at Great American Beer Festival, you're obviously doing something right.
Well, one thing I've noticed with the branding change is that I haven't seen bottles anymore from Lone Rider. I've only seen cans. Have they totally switched, other than the bombers?
Yeah, I'm assuming they still have bottles out there. I know at our store, all we have is the can, except for the 22-ounce bombers that they put out for their special limited releases.
But, well, everywhere else I've been that, you know, where they're distributed,
yeah,
whether it be some grocery stores locally or whatnot, I've only seen the cans anymore.
Yeah, and
I think it's cool. Cause,
yeah, I love the packaging. And this beer right now, you know, I'm always trying to develop my vocabulary. You know this, right, Mick? I mean, we're always trying to, like, you know.
Yeah, we're always willing to learn.
And I know I keep saying colors. I was going to say, hey, this is kind of like dark brown. It's like, well, it's a brown ale, jackass. You know, so I'm like, okay, so ladies and gentlemen, fasten up, because I'm reaching deep into my repertoire of language here. And I'm going to say this is a burgundy, mahogany, woody type color. You know,
all right.
With if you put it up close to the edge of the light, you might get some like this copper brownish, maybe even reddish, slight tint, burnt highlights. You know, around the edges if you put up against the glass. But
it's delicious.
Yeah, the head color is a off-white tan. I'm definitely picking up on the aroma. I'm picking up some bread and biscuit, and with a touch of nuttiness, as nutty as Mick. And
why I love it.
But this beer is definitely malt forward with the sweetness. The taste is the same with that bread and biscuit and nutty aromas, with the addition of some of the bitterness from the hops. And there's that chocolate or some caramel in there as well. I would say that it's a very smooth and medium body, same for the mouthfeel. And I mean, I know it's American brown, so some of that hoppiness kind of comes in. And you got a little bit of roastiness. And I would say this sucker sits right on the edge between a brown ale going to porter, I guess. It's not a porter, but I would say it's kind of on that extreme as you're going up the scale or whatever. But overall, the first time I was exposed to this beer was back in 2010, or no, 2011, shortly after Brew Burn, our first Brew Burn. And I had it with a char-grilled steak. And dude, this beer with a grilled steak on the grill, oh my God, man. It's umami in the mouth, baby.
Speaking of awesome pairings, and you remember a while back, we had the maple bacon with the beer we featured.
Oh, yes,
that was delicious.
Yes.
This one, when I saw that you brought this, I was like, I don't know if you've had this, but you have to at least try it. If not, again.
Yeah.
I brought some brown sugar.
Brown sugar, baby.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Sweet Josie brown ale. It is brown sugar, brown ale. It is good. Just, I got you a spoon. I got some brown sugar there.
All right.
I want you to try this just a little bit.
Lenny,
I wish I should have like coated the glass like a martini glass, but it's, I love it. I love it. This is a combo that is just in the summertime. Summertime, a brown sugar treated rim of the glass.
I think if you rim jobbed the glass.
Well. Can refer to it however you want to refer to it, but
or canning, you know, canning from canning.
Just a hint of that brown sugar. It's awesome.
No, it's good. And Lenny's looking at me like, "Where's the bacon?" So back off, dog. Lone Rider, they opened their doors on 23 January 2009. And the story behind this brewery is like a lot of others. In this case, it was three friends connect through their shared interest in home brewing. Of course, each of them works a 9-to-5 gig. But they figured out how to partner up and pursue their dream of opening and running a great brewery. The three owners, and I'm not even going to try to do their last names because I suck at last names, but it's Sumit, Mihir, and Steve. And those three are the three amigos, I guess you want to say, that got behind and launched this bad boy. And each one of them, I've met with Steve many times. I've talked to him. I've met Mihir only a couple. And then, of course, Sumit, I've talked to many times. All of them really great guys, laid back. They get it. They've busted their ass to get where they're at. Nothing's been given to them, definitely.
No, they've been a great brewery. And I love that it's the atmosphere.
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but the atmosphere these guys portray when they're out and about and every festival they go to, you know, you can have a series of booths of different breweries, but they just, there's something about their energy, there's something about their presence and their presentation and just the beers. It is an outlaw mentality. They stand out, but not in a. In an aggressive way, but just in an individualistic way.
Very laid back and approachable and stuff like that, and they're not pretentious. And I would say that I remember when I met Mihir for the first time, I thought he was very, I don't want to say introverted or whatever, but more soft-spoken, but he's not. I mean, the guy's an aggressive dude. So is Cement, so is Steve. But, you know, their beer, I think what it is they let their beer speak for themselves.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I don't need to say shit when I got great beer. Here, try it, you know? I mean, I would be honest with you, my hat's off to them. I would be a little cockier, I think, if I had beer and branding and stuff like this like they do. But their brewery, it's a 15-beer barrel steam jacketed system. They sourced it from the defunct Mad Boar Brew Pub in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And their current brewery is located in the northwestern part of Raleigh. It's in an old furniture auction warehouse. And, of course, like any brewery getting up and started, they had a lot of challenges along the way to include, get this, digging out the floor to the depth of 12 feet in order to install the reinforcements necessary to sustain the fermenters. So, I mean, they had to go in there and do some heavy digging, pun intended, you know. And here in 2014, as we're wrapping up, their plans were to, or their expectations were exceed production of 16,000 beer barrels. And they're in the planning stages for a new facility. So I'm really interested. And the next time I see either one of these guys, I'm definitely going to ask them about that. And, of course, we talked about the cans, which have been introduced over the last 12 to 24 months. I don't know exactly when they came to market, but I know they've been flying off the shelves at the Beer Army Outpost. And I love some of their, if you go to their website, again, part of that rebranding. Well, this is off their website. Lone Rider wears a air of mystery the way others wear cheap cologne. And again, we've talked about the branding and the facelift they did a couple years back, and it's very effective in capturing their story and who they are as a company, you know, no doubt. And you know, their slogan, Ales for Outlaws, but I've also heard beer so good it should be outlawed, and I really like that one too.
I just imagine when they're done brewing for the day, they just walk off with their, you know, their outlaw outfit right by the sunset with the whistling, western whistling in the background.
And you know how we themed our tap room at the brewery, called it the Bunker? Well, theirs is called the Hideout. Because every outlaw needs to have a hideout. Yeah, I really like that. I think it's really classy. And just,
you've brewed some great beer. You probably need to lay low for a while.
So definitely check them out at loneriderbeer.com and definitely visit the brewery. Check out their other offerings because they have some other great beers as well. But this one, I think, is very approachable. Even though it's not maybe not a sessionable per se, I could drink a lot of these on a fall, you know, it is right now. Yeah. It's kind of cool. And if you got anything that's grilled, definitely. You know, grilled beef, no doubt. I would have it in a heartbeat. So
Well, check it out. If you can get your hands on it, drink it. That's what I'm saying. And keep it locked right here. We're coming up, and we're getting right into the meat of what Beer Army is about. It's about good people doing great things. So we'll have our Heroes Never Die segment coming up, and Yikem to Sue later on. It's all right here on Beer Army Engaged.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code Beer Army.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code Beer Army?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Look, for all of you that are really excited about the Beer Army, and maybe you're interested in Patreon, definitely hit up beerarmy.org. You can link to everything you need there so you can get the inside info and be part of something really awesome as being a super soldier. But as well, you know, being as, you know, we featured Sweet Josie, the brown ale,
yep,
from Lone Rider, and it's in cans. There's a great blog up on beerarmy.org from Dustin about cans for bottles, why so many craft breweries are changing it up. It's a really interesting read, so definitely check that out. And for those of you that are, you know, Christmas-minded and you're wanting to get some cool swag for some family members or friends for Christmas, definitely check out and link to it. You can write there from beerarmy.org to tvmoviedepot.com, wearyourbeer.com.
Yeah, wearyourbeer. Yeah,
some great t-shirt sites out there that have teamed up with us, and you can get 20% off your order using them.
Yeah, use promo code BEERARMY. And by the way, I take an extra large, so if anybody wants to buy me something for Christmas, I'm down.
Oh, I know what to throw in your stocking then, buddy. No, it's a cool deal, and it's just so awesome to be a part of Beer Army, and we really encourage you to be a part of it as well. So swing on by and check out past episodes of the podcast there as well. There's plenty. We have, 15 under our belt?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Just flying away. And, of course, we got some video, too. We do some funny skits. We try to do one a quarter. And, of course, Scott, if you haven't seen it, with his his wife carrying championship news, Beer Army news or whatever. So
I was laughing my ass off. Yeah. So I love his commentary.
We definitely have to create one for first quarter 2015 and make people laugh. But
right now we're gonna set the humor aside because it's time to get down to business and get serious, because we're just really want to be associated with people doing great things. That's why I'm associated with Beer Army. And here we have our feature that dives into the nitty-gritty of life, because when everything falls apart in your world, you never know who's going to be there and step in the gap.
Victory!
This week, we have a 19-year-old teenager jumps into the lake to save a 92-year-old that was submerged in a car. And we got some audio and video. Give it a listen.
Watch as Alton swiftly makes his way towards the quickly sinking vehicle, the driver locked inside, unable to free himself.
Banging on the window, I said, sir, please, you know, wake up, and nothing happened.
That's him smacking the glass.
Wow. Grabbing a hammer, Alton breaks the window, pops the lock, and opens the door.
Popped his seatbelt off and, you know, put my arm under his shoulder and swim, got him out of the car.
As Alton carries the stranger to shore, the man stops breathing. The future ER doc wastes no time administering CPR.
Oh, he got him.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow.
The driver's pulse comes back, and while he's recovering in the hospital this morning, many are calling Alton a hero, but he disagrees.
No, I'm not a hero. That was my calling for today, was to save this guy. I was just in the right place at the right time.
Wow. Can you believe the modesty and the
that
humility
is a hero,
of a
man.
19-year-old and being on the spot? And first, and of course, we want to give a shout out to West Palm Beach, Florida news, abcnews.com, for catching this story and then, you know, getting the news out and getting it out there, because, you know, in this day and age of 24/7 news cycle, it's like what sells is, you know, death and mayhem and horror and all this other bullshit, you know. Well, it's not bullshit. I mean, it's the news, you know, but I mean, it's just nice to hear people doing good things, too.
And this kid's 19.
Going to school, obviously, to be a doctor. So, and when you hear that hammer, I mean, That just goes to show you the safety of, I guess, you know, automobiles now. I mean, he's racking on that thing.
Yeah.
Where you have somebody recording it from the shoreline, and you hear him smacking that freaking thing. And if you go and you check out the video, you'll see that he has the presence of mind not to do it on the driver's side window where the driver's at, because glass shards or whatever. So he's doing it on the, you know, the passenger door behind him. And of course, he's turning his head so he doesn't get glass in his face. And I mean, and he's just wailing on that thing, you know, and I think it's just amazing. Jeez. That, well, and then, you know, he talks about, or in the article, if you read the article, it talks about how, hey, you know, I need a hammer. And one of the passerbys going by just so happens to have a hammer. You know, I don't know if that was a construction worker off duty or having a beer at lunchtime or what, but, you know, that's amazing, because I tell you, after you see how hard he hits this freaking thing, this window, if he didn't have that hammer, I'm sorry, slamming on your, like, you, even a brick, I don't know. I mean, he's got a metal hammer, and he's
pressure point. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to use like a claw point or something. But it was just
a smart kid, because it's wow to think that fast.
Yeah,
well, and at 19, I mean, I don't want to disparage any teenagers,
sure.
But at that age, these kids are distracted and on their phones, and you'd think they'd be more apt to put it up to video. Is anybody going to do anything?
Right.
But no.
And he talks about how when he opened up that door, that's when all the water rushed in. And so then he even had less time that, you know, like, I got to get this guy out here. So he pulled him out from the back, you know, so to maneuver a body, especially obviously it was unconscious. That's hard.
Oh, that's hard.
Dead weight, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
No pun intended, because the guy lost consciousness, obviously, and would have been dead. But that is really hard when somebody's kind of semi-conscious and trying to help you. There's a big difference, you know. And then loses consciousness, the guy goes out, flatlines, while he's pulling the shore. Are you freaking kidding me, man? And then he goes to town on him with CPR and then gets him back, you know, and brings him back from flatline. That's just freaking amazing.
That's awesome. That kid's, man, props to you. What's his full name?
Alton Brisky.
Nice.
And I'm sure I'm probably mispronouncing that, slaughtering, and I do apologize, but... if he dropped the I, or you can maybe even pronounce it Brewski, you know. So I tell you what,
that kid deserves a beer.
I don't give a shit if you're 19 or not. If I was around you, dude, I'd be like, beer's on me, man.
Cheers to
you. Oh yeah, because man, I mean, that's just freaking awesome. And again, it makes you proud to be part of the human race, to be identified with the human species. That somebody. You know, and he's having lunch, you know, at the Hurricane Grill and Wings in Port St. Lucia.
Point St. Lucie.
Thank you.
Yeah, Port St. Lucie.
Lucia.
Yeah. I don't know. You went Italian on us for some reason over here. Should see this guy.
But no, but he literally witnessed the driver just, and let me, or what's it? What's the guy's name here? Hold on. Let me find this name here.
The 92-year-old gentleman.
Yeah, the 92-year-old gentleman, because I definitely... You know, thank God he's alive and stuff, and I can't find it here to save my life. But it's Salvatore Mancuso.
So that's where you get the Lucci, because he's Italian.
I guess I'm profiling here. Sorry,
well, Salvatore
people.
Owes a debt of gratitude to Alton.
And he was in the driver's seat of a silver Lincoln. But literally, I guess you know, Alton was eating lunch at the Hurricane Grill and Wings, and literally just saw him drive and crash right into the lake. You know, and like got up, and I mean, how many people would have been like, oh, somebody will get that, you know what I mean?
A lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but no, this kid's like,
well, I've experienced that. I was out there. It was Easter. I was out in Colorado visiting family, and it was a tradition. My grandma would take us all, the whole family, to a place called the White Fence Farm. It was an awesome chicken. They specialized in chicken, and it was a nice family dinner for Easter kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And we're all there. I'm home on leave from the Army. And this dude, we're in this one little separate room, and we can see all this other stuff and other tables out around this separate room we were in for our huge party for the family. And I see this guy just collapse. This old man just collapsed.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around, and everybody else sees it too. And I'm looking, and I just get up and I run out there, and all these people are just standing around.
Yeah.
And I run up to this old man, and there's another guy that meets me. It's ran up, saw it from a distance too, and meets me there. And we just assess the situation, and this guy was an off-duty EMT.
Wow.
And so I was like, look, you've got more experience than me. I'll do what I can. You just tell me what you need me to do.
Right.
And it was, I went through the combat lifesaver course. But you're right. It's one of those things where something like that happens. And a lot of people, even people like 4 or 5 feet from him, didn't do anything. They were just paralyzed with shock.
Yeah.
And fear. And even members of my own family were like, what's going on?
They're almost like, what are you doing? It's like, what am I doing?
I just ran out there. And the guy had a heart attack.
Wow.
He had a heart attack and collapsed. I was checking pulse while the EMT was doing, you know, resuscitation because he had a heart attack and he just went. And he brought him back. We had a weak pulse.
Yeah.
And then paramedics came and I just stepped aside and I found out later that he didn't make it.
Oh,
he was dead on arrival. But
I just trying to imagine though, you know, Alton just eating his lunch there, and this is like, I'm sure you, like you said, like you watched this guy. I've seen things where like it's kind of like slow mo. Like that guy doesn't stop. He's gonna crash, and it's like or some kind of incident unfolds like that where you're like, and then you kind of look around like, am I the only one that just saw that? Did that just happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen things like that, especially from my military days or whatever, where it's like I've seen a plane actually crash.
Yeah.
You know, like you're like, boy, he's getting kind of low. Is he going to pull up? He's going to, no, I guess he's decided not to, you know? And it's just like, there's a couple $1 million worth of damage to the, you know, it's like, my bad, you know?
Well, that's wild. We have a similar experience. I watched a plane crash.
Really?
It was a Cessna 152 that was on approach at a regional airport. I was on a fourth hole of a golf course that kind of paralleled the approach to the runway.
Yeah.
And this plane got about 100 feet off the ground, about ready to, it was right in this final, and it was Colorado downdrafts. They're just like vertical blasts of air that
goes
straight down. This plane is just one of those freak occurrences. This plane happened to fly under one right as it was a down blast, and it just slammed that plane right into the ground.
That's nuts.
And it was tragic because, I mean, there was nothing that anybody could do.
Well, this wasn't like that bad. It's just the pilot aired and he went a little, I don't know if, like, sometimes we'll do these touch and goes where they'll practice for carrier landings and stuff. Yeah. And he just came in a little too hot, was a little too hard on the landing gear, and the landing gear just went, boop, you know, just popped out. You know, it was like, and did a little belly skid, you know. It's like, yeah, well, that's going to require a little bit more. Hey, Chief, I need a can of paint here. Number 5 battleship gray, please. And,
somebody's going back to Myanmar for some refresher training.
Yeah, somebody's definitely going back to the rag, man, because it's like, somebody having a bad day.
I'll tell you, life is one of those things where you never know. I mean, and you shouldn't walk through life on edge, always wondering when something's going to happen and how you're going to react. But just realize that you will find yourself in a situation when you're least expecting it, when stuff can turn south.
Right. And in no means am I saying that, and I don't think you would agree, that if you are one of those people that's like, that maybe doesn't jump into action, that doesn't make you a bad person either.
No,
right?
No,
it's just
no.
What we want to highlight is the people that don't and do jump into action, you know, because I've seen guys in some serious carnage and firefights, right? And then all of a sudden the next one, they just freeze. And and it's not like they're cowardly or anything, because I've seen them like do crazy things, right? It's just your human mind and where you're at and just how things are. It's just what it is.
It's that duality of training and survival.
Right.
It's
just like I've seen people who I was like, I thought were super timid or whatever. Never all of a sudden, boom, game on, baby. And you know, you're like, holy crap, where did that just come from? You know, and
you that's the thing. Yeah. You never know.
That's why I love this segment so much. So
that's why it's awesome. I love it too. And by the way, thank you so much for listening to Beer Army Engaged. We're coming right back with Yikum Tasu.
Oh, Yikum Tasu.
Oh, the insanity of the world. This stuff you just can't make up. Always a great laugh. So stick around, because you're going to get some fun out of this one.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Are you a superhero that's afraid to come out of the closet?
Don't worry, SuperheroDen.com has you covered.
Just put in promo code BEERARMY to get 20% off your order today.
That way you can be a superhero. So get yourself a t-shirt. That's promo code BEERARMY.
So do it now. That's SuperheroDen.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BEERARMY.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Oh, the insanity continues, and we're kicking it up a notch here on Beer Army Engaged, because there's stuff that just happens when you hear about it. You're like, what the hell?
What the fark?
You can't even make this stuff up.
You can't.
So let's yick him to Sue. Oh, we've got a great one, Dustin, to kick this off.
Okay. Is it? Hopefully yeah. It's better than Japanese type
well,
stuff.
Well, I'm sure you've heard of some interesting excuses people have had for DUIs, right?
Oh, definitely, man. You know, I was riding a horse, officer. I wasn't driving, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Well, what do you think a kind of excuse a guy who's facing his 10th DUI charge, what kind of excuse do you think Christ. He would offer up?
First of all, how the fuck does somebody get 10 DUIs? I mean, how's he not in prison after like 3 or 4? And has he killed anybody yet? You know, it's like, what the hell?
Well, let's just find out, okay?
75-year-old John Prisbala was driving in Adams County on Highway 13 when he was pulled over back in October.
I walked up to the vehicle. He was smoking a cigarette initially.
There were other suspicious smells as well.
I could smell odor of alcohol on his breath.
Ass. He told the officer he hadn't been drinking and that the smell was coming from beer battered fish.
Beer battered fish. I'm trying to hold and not spit up my beer, my Lone Rider Sweet Josie here when he goes, and other smells. I'm thinking smelling ass. I
mean, he's 75 years old. He might have had a Depends diaper on or something. And other smells. I'm just imagining this 75-year-old dude with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Being like, Oh, that's beer battered fish.
Yeah. What does it say? What state this was in?
This was in Wisconsin, out of Adams County, Wisconsin.
Why?
Yeah, I held that
I
back.
Swear, yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But a big thanks to the news organization WAOW TV out of Wisconsin for sharing this story.
Yeah. No beer. Well, you know,
blame beer battered fish.
I'm gonna go with when the fish was deep fried, the heat maybe boiled off any alcohol that maybe.
Yeah. When beer battered fish is on a menu, it doesn't say, oh, must be 21 or older to order.
It doesn't say, oh, do you want the 3.5 ABV or the high gravity beer battered fish?
Yeah, you want the high gravity beer battered fish.
This is 10%. So.
10th DUI charge.
Jesus.
I mean, how many DUIs are you allowed to get before they're just saying, look, you're not driving anymore whatsoever?
I know my home state of Wisconsin, we are very liberal when it comes to our taverns and drinking our beer and our alcohol, but. Yeah, I mean, 10 DUIs. Are you freaking kidding me, man? I mean, what planet do you need to be on before you have to say, like, maybe he should have his driver's license revoked for fucking life? I don't know. You know, it's like, hello, Reveille, people, wake up. 10 DUIs. Are you freaking kidding me?
There you have it. Beer battered fish.
Great.
I knew you'd get a kick out of that one.
Yeah, no,
and I held back on the Wisconsin because I wanted you to be surprised by that, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why couldn't it be Florida?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just like, what the hell, man? Well, I tell you, you know, when any time you get a news piece out of Japan, okay, and I spend time in Japan, and I love Japan, and I love the karaoke bars, I love it all, man. I love everything.
You never told me you loved karaoke bars.
Oh, over there, the way they do it, okay, because they just get started about 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay?
Oh, so it's your lost in translation moment,
and then to like 5 or 6, you know, in the morning, you're just getting going, man. I mean, it's just it's awesome. I mean, they're into it. They are heavy into it, especially on mainland. Anyway, so anytime that anything comes out of Japan, you know it's going to be a good nugget. So are you ready for this?
I don't know, am I?
Okay. There is an
infatuation. Japan's kind of weird. I'm sorry.
The local ladies have an infatuation with having larger breasts than what they have.
Yeah.
And what is God's given them. So I got a little video for you here. Check this out.
Say hello to Takiko Shindo, a.k.a. the boob goddess, who's famous for her legendary Opai Taiso massage, which literally translates to boob exercise massage. The boob goddess claims that Opai Taiso is effective in enhancing bust size and shape, improving conditions of stiff shoulders, menopause, menstrual cramps, and even has skin beautifying and anti-aging effects.
Wait. Wait a minute. So these women are going there to get their boobs enlarged.
Yeah, well.
But it's like, hey, I'm with larger boobs, but I also need something for my shoulder pain, menopause, and stiff cramps.
No, so Takiko Shindo, the boob goddess. So there's literally video of her grabbing chicks' boobs and like rubbing them up and down in a circular motion. I mean, this is like some Karate Kid shit on, you know.
Mm.
So, you know, wipe on, wipe off. And she does a pre-measurement of their bust size and then a post. And of course, it's like 3 centimeters. Well, I'm going to go on a limb here and say maybe, I don't know, blood is rushed to that region because it's like muscles and there, you know, whatever. I don't know.
That's exactly what it is.
But I'm sure in a couple of hours, if you measured again, it'd probably be back down to, you know, -3 centimeters.
So she's essentially giving him a boob job.
So her hands are magical. And she even shows her hands like this, like this fighting crane Bruce Lee type dispose. And so she has molded her hand into a rake. And it's the boob rake. And it's a bust enlarging rake. Oh, and they have video where women then take this rake and they basically rake their boobs with this thing. And it's supposed to help them, you know, grow
their
boobs.
Can I write a song? Can I write a song called Boob Raker?
Anytime that Mick does a song, people, fasten your seatbelt.
Well, Boob Raker. I like that. Although I'm having visions of Blade Runner and like Harrison Ford.
See, I thought you were going to go with Moonraker and do the whole James Bond thing with some Roger Moore. Boob Raker.
Yeah, Boob Raker. Oh, wow. Well, I'm sure any guys watching any videos and tutorials on the boob rake will probably grow in their own centimeters.
What I'm thinking about doing is, if I can do it, I'm going to buy a couple of these as gag gifts for the Chinese gift exchange, you know? No pun intended between China and Japan and all that, but come on. You know, what woman in your life who's been busting your balls would you not want to get back at by giving her the gift that keeps on giving, you know, by raking them boobs?
My boobs are small. What can I do to make my boobs bigger?
Boob break. I love it. I love it, man. The boob break.
Awesome. Look, ladies, you don't need to buy a boob rake to make your boobs bigger. Just find any dude.
Listen,
they will gladly fondle and massage your boobs, and they will get bigger, and you will have. It's a win-win for everybody.
Well, no, hey, definitely. I would say find a guy. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to participate and help you out, but
just buy earplugs because you might get those awkward like.
But if I was a chick, I would definitely go with a padded bra, or they got these liquid silicone. I don't know. I would do something or push-ups or
Wonder Bra.
Yeah, whatever they do that stuff. Yeah.
From down under comes the boob thunder.
So what do you got over there? You got something from Japan or?
Well, a little out there. Japan's a little out there with their freakiness. But no, I'm speaking a little out there in regard to Creed frontman Scott Stapp. Yeah, this dude is, he seems to be losing his marbles. He's posted some Facebook videos and talking about how the IRS is after him.
Living out of his truck there for a couple. Yeah. You know, I know he posted that up there too.
And claiming people are stealing his identity and that he's broke and living at a hotel and all this other stuff. But his wife, who's filed for divorce, is claiming he's back on drugs and he's just lost it.
Oh, man.
And it doesn't bode well for Scott Stapp because he has recently, there was a phone call released from last month. Just in the past few days, this phone call was released. A 911 call made by Scott Stapp's sister-in-law and wife claiming some very interesting things.
That they're beating him? Or?
No, I just want you to listen.
He's off of the drugs, but he's going crazy and he's on a bike. He's not wearing a shirt. He's got long hair. He has a bottle of pills, but he's very, very ill. He thinks he's part of the CIA. He thinks they're trying to kill him, and he has a bunch of paperwork in his backpack that he's a CIA agent, and he was supposed to assassinate Obama. And he's on a bike. He's on a bicycle with no shirts and 2 backpacks.
Tell me it's a tricycle.
CIA and Central Intelligence documents.
That he thinks are Central Intelligence documents?
He thinks he's being trained by the CIA.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So he's... I'm just sorry the visual of this is brings tears to my eyes. Imagine the front man of a major rock band from 10 years ago.
Huge,
with
man.
Arms wide open.
Yeah, huge, man.
Under, you know,
huge following. Huge, yeah.
But now this guy is riding around on a bicycle, shirtless, with a backpack full of fake CIA documents he claims are his orders to kill President Obama.
I think the only way it gets any better is if you picture the bike being a pink Barbie bicycle with like a banana seat, you know, like a 20-inch. It's like,
it wouldn't surprise me, man.
Oh my God.
It's horrible. It's horrible. You know, the Creed had a song called My Own Prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I think he found himself there.
No, and he used to talk about a lot of his songs about coming in touch with, you know, different things in his life and stuff like that. And that's the reason why it's like, holy crap. I mean, Creed was, they were big, dude. I mean, they were big in the day, man. And it's just amazing to go so high and go so, you know, rise and then fall.
Oh, like that.
Holy smokes, man.
So. That visual, though, to me, I mean, it's tragic, but yet
it is
totally, absolutely hilarious at the same time.
You know, he's got nunchuck skills. He's probably got, with his CIA papers, it's probably like the CIA logo he printed off online or something, or the About Us section. And then he's got like nunchucks, and he's probably got like, I don't know, Legos that are made to be, you know, something else. But he's definitely gone. Loopy. So... Well, you know, you want to talk about loopy, you know, this weather, right? I mean, we, you know, I know we've always talked about, you know, global warming. And of course, now we don't use global warming. If you notice, they always say climate change.
Yeah, because, right? I love how that changed.
Right. And so I always like to bag on them because it's like, how's it you have global warming when we have freezing winters or whatever? But I will say, like, you know, I don't know if you ever see like these B movies like Sharknado and stuff where I laugh my ass off where it's like a tornado full of sharks or whatever, you know, and it's usually B list actors or washed up A list actors, you know, that can't get gigs.
Thank you, Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah. So, you know, when you see those Armageddon type movies, and a lot of times they'll have like LA, like dinosaurs in LA, or if there's a volcano in LA, well, you know, I've always wondered, like, you know, if a hurricane or a tornado hit LA, right? Because it's like they don't have
or Sharknado.
You know, or Sharknado, right?
Yeah.
Well, just this past week, they had a no shit. They're calling it a tornado hit South Central Los Angeles. So check this out. And they got some video, too.
All right, take a look at this video just into the CBS newsroom. It's apparently a small tornado hitting South Central Los Angeles. As you can see here, some roofs and trees were damaged. So far, sounds like everyone is safe. There are no reports of injuries.
Roofs and trees were damaged.
But the video is like stuff. This ain't just some high powered wind. You can kind of see like, yeah, it's definitely something crazy that you would see in the Midwest or, you know, somewhere or, you know, other areas that are more prone to tornadoes or whatever. But it's like
I've never heard of a tornado in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Right. I mean, it's just like, holy crap, man. So,
What does it mean? Is this a precursor to the end times?
Maybe. I don't know. You know, I mean, is the Mayan calendar? Maybe we just need to fast forward a couple more years. I don't know.
Is that Mother Nature pinpointing the epicenter of the great earthquake that's going to make California fall off the continental shelf?
Could be. But even though usually our Yikum to Sue is like crazy, outrageous, and funny, you know, this is kind of crazy, though. To me, this goes in the crazy category that you have a freaking tornado in the city of L.A. So, yeah.
It's horrible that it damaged palm trees that are not indigenous to California. Horrible.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody marching. If it's okay for you, Mick, there's somebody marching for the rights of those palm trees. So it's going to be A-okay. Okay.
Would they be shouting, I can't leave?
I don't know.
I can't leave. I'm sorry. That's totally uncalled for.
That's like Ryan Leaf, who just got out of jail or whatever.
I can't leave.
Anyways.
Oh, wow.
It's that fast, and we are wrapped up already. Another episode.
I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. Don't forget, all past podcasts are available online at beerarmy.org, and that is your avenue to be part of something special. And join us here in our efforts at Beer Army Engaged by joining the Beer Army Foundation. You can become a super soldier, help offset the cost of the production of the podcast. Not only that, but get the inside info on a lot of good, a lot of great things. And as well, don't forget, we have our Google Hangouts for our Patreon members, which is a great opportunity to be a part of something really cool.
Yeah, so if you want to get more involved, definitely become a super soldier and check it out. We really appreciate all your support.
And catch us next week. We'll be back, and we'll be having some more fun here on Beer Army Engaged.
Browns out.
Beer Army Radio.